So, Harvest Festival. I'd like to begin by reading from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 27, which you do actually have, if you look on your tables, you've got a breakfast takeaway sheet, and on the back, the passage is written out. And I just want to read the first verse, but feel free to read the rest of it amongst yourselves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. We should begin today by acknowledging what a wonderful world we live in. We especially have the blessing of living in such a beautiful part of the world. Beaches, heathland, hills, castles, stunning views often in every direction, rivers, cliffs, flowers, and wildlife everywhere. We live in a stunning place, and it is right to acknowledge this. Jesus spoke to us in Matthew 6 about the beauty of creation, and we see that Jesus too rejoices in the beauty of creation. It's a joy to express delight in the world and a celebration and appreciation of God's creation. Indeed, expressing joy in the world is a sign of our faith, isn't it? A Dominican monk wrote about expressing our joy. He wrote this: "We express our joy in bodily signs by dancing, singing, or laughing. We shout for joy, or hug each other, or turn cartwheels. Just how we express our happiness will, of course, depend on what country we live in and the local customs and traditions. In parts of Africa, you would express it in highly sophisticated dance. In parts of Britain, I believe they manage to express joy with a slight twitch of the upper lip." So with a slight twitch of the upper lip, we express our joy and delight this morning in our world at the time of harvest. Harvest Festival, it's a time to wonder again at the world. We wonder at what we see, and with food awaiting us after the service and all fully dressed, we can be rightly feeling content. Yes, there is so much to feel content about, but I wonder whether alongside the harvest that we see evident around us, there is also another harvest. I'd like to suggest the harvest of discontent. We are immersed in a culture encouraging us to be discontented with what we have. We buy the latest piece of equipment, and before we know it, it's out of date and a better, new, improved one is available. And the adverts are designed to make us want the new to replace the old. Phones, computers, cars, all come in the same category, upgrade. We can easily be discontented with what we have. Clothes, fashion rules, the latest colours, styles, fabrics, types of fit, they're all designed to make us unhappy with what we have, discontented, and want the new one available. Appearance, we can easily be discontented with the shape of our bodies because of all the supposedly perfect bodies that we see on TV, film, and in the magazines. Church should be a place where we come to offer worship to God and build relationships with one another. But how often does it become a place where we worry about our dress code and worry about the impression that we're making on others, physically and spiritually? Pay. You could earn more, you know. Health. The way the NHS is criticised, you'd think we have a bad health service. We do not. Of course, it could be better, but it's all too easy for the media to make people discontented with what there is. Education, again, we have excellent schools, but they could be better, we're told. All the time we find things are being criticised and critiqued. Nothing is quite right, and so we're encouraged to be discontented with what we have. So, the risk is we become a people who blame, moan, condemn, and are generally negative and critical. Again, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us that if we have food and we have clothing, we should be content. Will we? The culture often encourages us to be discontent. Our world entered a global recession a few years ago, the result of people's discontentment, fueled by a desire for more and more and more, whether the money was there for it or not. And we were constantly told, you can have what you like, you can pay later, you deserve it. And has anything changed? The problem with discontentment, such as these examples, is that it is never satisfied. There's always something different, something better that can tempt us, something more which we desire. We're always searching for enoughness, which may be a word that I have made up. But it's a search for enoughness in our culture that will never end. So, how can we be content? In John 6, Jesus says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And this is not just wishy-washy nonsense. This is the real deal. This is what life is fundamentally about. Contentment does not come from acquiring more of the harvest. If we look around at the harvest, and by this I mean all of the things I listed earlier, and desire more of it, we will not find contentment. We will only find contentment when it is combined with a harvest of godliness. We must adopt a godly discontentment, always wanting to fill ourselves with more of God, building our characters to be more like Jesus, always needing and wanting more of him. Or put in the words of Jesus, strive first for the kingdom of God, which means give God priority in life. Put him first. Involve him in all that you do. The only food that satisfies our discontent is the food for life, which is from God. Now, Tom Wright, when he was Bishop of Durham, said, put the world first and you'll find it gets moth-eaten in your hands. Put God first and you'll get the world thrown in as well. I'll just read that again. Put the world first and you'll find it gets moth-eaten in your hands. Put God first and you'll get the world thrown in as well. We become followers of Jesus because we have glimpsed a life of beauty and integrity, authenticity and goodness in the extraordinarily attractive and compelling figure of Jesus. We've signed up to being part of the church because we want to follow Christ and in following him, become like him. Amidst all that can come between us and that goal in the discontentment of our culture, let us stand firm and say, this is the way Jesus has called us to walk. Let us go there together as his church. Harvest is about recognizing and celebrating what God has done. Seeing God as creator and provider, redeemer and shepherd, focuses us on him and not on ourselves. So, not self-sufficiency, but Christ-sufficiency. Contentment, therefore, comes not through external circumstances, but through dependence on God. Contentment comes from being filled with the right things. We don't judge a book by its cover. Instead, it's what's inside that counts. The contents are what we take in. What makes us content as people is what is on the inside, what we put inside ourselves. And I would suggest more of God, the teachings of Jesus and less of the world is the right way to go. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Amen.